edition of America's Godly Heritage. In today's episode, we are going to be looking at the U.S. Constitution. Now, some may ask why we're going to be looking at the federal Constitution, because God is not mentioned in it. So why would we look at it in America's Godly Heritage if God is not in the U.S. Constitution? Well, he might not be overtly mentioned in the Constitution, but God's fingerprints are all over it. We're going to be looking at the Constitution in several episodes, and in each one we'll be taking a particular aspect of the Constitution and showing how God is part of the Constitution. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at the connection between the U.S. Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Time out. We're going to have a little commercial here. If you have not seen the episodes about the Declaration of Independence that America's Godly Heritage has done, then I strongly suggest that you stop and go and watch or listen to the episodes about the Declaration, because it's going to give you a lot more in-depth information about that subject, which will then make a lot more sense when you're watching today's episode. You're going to have a lot more background information about the Declaration to make the connections that I'm going to be making later on in this episode. Okay, done with the commercial. Back to the concept that God's fingerprints are all over the Constitution. One fingerprint is that the founders of our nation devised both the Constitution and the God-affirming Declaration of Independence. And they believed that these two central, foundational documents work hand in hand. They were clear that the Constitution was not meant to stand alone. It was not meant to be studied or understood all by itself. It needed to be studied and understood with the Declaration of Independence. This concept can be readily seen when you go back and look at the primary documents from the late 1700s. For example, it's reflected in the fact that between 1776, which is the year we declared independence from Great Britain, and 1787, which is when the Constitutional Convention was convened, most of the 13 colonies/new states drafted their state constitutions that included a declaration of rights that were very similar to the Declaration of Independence. Further, as the U.S. Constitution was being ratified in each of the states, a demand for a Bill of Rights, which would specify and make more concrete the general rights that were brought up in the Declaration of Independence, would be added to the Constitution as part of the ratifying process. They wanted a Bill of Rights so that the general rights that were in the Declaration could be more specific. And that's how the Bill of Rights was formed, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Then we have James Wilson in Pennsylvania, who was actually one of the ones who drafted the original Constitution, when he was giving a speech asking people to ratify the Constitution in Pennsylvania, he actually quoted from the Declaration of Independence. Charles Cotesworth Pinckney did a similar thing at the South Carolina Ratifying Convention. Further, in the Federalist Papers number 40, James Madison quoted from the Declaration of Independence as a way of garnering support for the ratification of the Constitution. A few years later, Samuel Adams, he was explaining to the Massachusetts legislature, before the formation of this Constitution, it had been affirmed as a self-evident truth in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. This Declaration of Independence was received and ratified by all the states in the Union and has never been disannulled. In other words, it's never been canceled or voided. It's still relevant to all of the states. John Quincy Adams further asserted, the virtue which had been infused into the Constitution of the United States was no other than the concretion, or solidifying, of those abstract principles which had been first proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence. This was the platform upon which the Constitution of the United States had been erected. Its virtues, its republican character, consisted in its conformity to the principles proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence. In addition, the statutes at large, treaties, and proclamations of the United States of America testified that several of the Midwestern and Western territories, when they wanted to join the Union as a new state, had to proclaim and affirm that they would uphold not only the U.S. Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence as well. So if our nation's founders, who devised, debated, signed, studied, ratified these two documents, proclaimed they were meant to work together, then we should follow their lead. All right, so now agreeing that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are meant to go together. What are some ways that they go together? Obvious question. Well, number one, the Declaration of Independence was a major factor in uniting the 13 colonies. So they all fought together as one nation instead of 13 individual colonies against Great Britain. Some of the colonies could have said, no, I don't want a part of this. I want to do my own thing. Maybe I even want to do a peace treaty with Great Britain. But no, they didn't splinter off and have 13 different ideas. They all decided they would join together as one nation against Great Britain. Later, the Constitution laid out the framework for how these 13 new states, not colonies anymore, we are a new nation, so these 13 states would continue to identify and work together as one nation through a strong, though limited, federal republic. We'll go into that more in another episode. Number two, in the centuries preceding the Revolutionary War, European monarchs often claimed that they ruled by divine right. In other words, God gave them the right to rule over all the Europeans, so you better just do what I say without question. Well, the Enlightenment came along, and as part of that, an understanding came that isn't just monarchs who have this divine right. The founders turned this concept upside down by asserting that the Declaration of Independence was for all men, not just monarchs. All men were given divine rights. Further, both the Declaration and the Constitution state that a legitimate government may only govern if it has the consent of those being governed. The government rules through popular sovereignty, not through a monarch, not through lords, not through divine right. The Constitution begins with the famous words, "We the people of the United States," and this makes it clear that the people are the ones through whom the government is established and for whom the government works. Considering how things are going these days, perhaps our nation's leaders ought to actually read the Constitution. Number three, the Declaration of Independence proclaims that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In stating that people's rights were given to them by their Creator, the Continental Congress was affirming that God, and God alone, could grant these rights. No individual, no corporation, no government can grant you these rights. Only God can. Further, these rights are inviolable and unalienable. Well, what does that mean? It means that these rights are not susceptible, they're not corruptible, they cannot be given away, they cannot be taken away. They are always there, because they are given to us by God. End of story. The Declaration declares that the reason for being of a government is to secure the rights of its citizens. And the preamble of the Constitution says that its purpose is to do just that. It says its purpose is to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. It then describes how the federal government is set up and how it is to function so it can then fulfill this purpose. The people's God-given rights are then more specifically expressed and protected in the Bill of Rights and other amendments to the Constitution. Now that we can see how the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution complement each other and how they work together, we can go back to that original question of why the federal Constitution is being studied since God is not mentioned in this historic document. Well, okay. The name of God is not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. However, four names of God are stated in its companion document, the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration calls God nature's God, the Creator, the Supreme Judge of the world, and Divine Providence. These four references to God's names are addressed in more detail in the Declaration of Independence editions of America's Godly Heritage. In addition, as we will see, just because God's not overtly named in the Constitution doesn't mean he isn't there. In the next few episodes of America's Godly Heritage, we're going to unpackage this idea. We're going to show how God's fingerprints are on the Constitution. So, to wrap things up, the founders, who created the God-affirming Declaration of Independence and the supposedly God-silent Constitution, meant for them to work together. The two documents helped unite this fledgling nation. The Declaration justified the American rebellion against a tyrannical government that was denying the people their divinely granted rights. And the Constitution later established a federal republic that was intended to keep government in check and to protect those rights. So basically, the Declaration outlined why the United States was created, and then the Constitution outlined how the U.S. government was to be created. The Declaration also described fundamental God-given liberties, but the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, created the legal framework to protect those liberties. Clearly, these two documents represent two sides of the same coin. Well, that's it for now. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of America's Godly Heritage. I hope you have a great day. Bye! Help us spread our message. If you would like to learn more about America's Godly Heritage, or to support us with prayers or finances, you can find us on YouTube, Vimeo, Patreon, GiveSendGo, most podcast sites such as Buzzsprout and Spotify, and on social media X, Truth, Instagram, and Facebook. You can view the resources used to make this podcast on YouTube, Vimeo, and Patreon. We really appreciate your support. Thanks again. Bye.